I want all the dads to stand up. All the dads. My, my, my. Look at all of you. I want to thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much. I honor you today for who you are, what God has called you to do and to be. It is a pleasure for you to be a daddy in this day. So we just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen? Come on, ladies, give them, kids. Thanks to all the dads. You know, I got to thinking about that as we start this message. I'm going to just jump right into it. I mean, dads, whoo, Jesus, we pray for dads, because a good dad, man, we need that in today. Because when there's no fathers, you see a lot of bad things happen in different communities. And there's communities around our country that they don't have dads, because a dad is a real man. Amen. Let me say that again. A good dad is a real man. And we need real men today, because that way the women don't have to be the man. And too many times that's what happens. And there's a lot of pressure with being a dad. And I realize that, of course, we could have talked about being a mama for a long time. I mean, that would take like 16 weeks in a series to talk about the greatness of motherhood and so on. But today it's Dad Day, and I'm not going to do a message just about dads, but I got to thinking about the pressure and the things that dads go through and trying to provide for their families and so on. And in the society that we live in, everything is so changed. I mean, really, they beat up a lot of men. They've tried to make men feminine. And I'm here to tell you, we need some masculine men that would be willing to stand up and get their shoulders back and their chest out and carry on the gospel of Jesus Christ that this country was founded by in Jesus' name. And it's going to take... And now, there could be people in here that don't have a dad, or their dad hasn't been a dad or whatever, but you know what? You got a father. And you got examples of dads, hopefully through a pastor and through other men in here that God will use in a mighty way, possibly in your life. I can think of a few, like Daryl. Has been since my dad's in heaven, I can think of the times that I've just gleaned and rubbed shoulders with Daryl, because he's been like a dad to me. Amen. There's times when he'll go, "Hey, let me tell you something, son, listen to me." Did you hear him? He said, "Yeah." Rusty Feltz is not here this morning, but now is starting to come, been a minister a long time. He's been like a dad to me, and there's probably several others that I've seen and talked to you, and maybe you've talked to me like a father. But see, there's a lot of pressures that's going on in this world right now. There's a lot of things that we're having to deal with that we need to put all of our trust in the Lord Jesus. I'm reminded of a story in the book of Acts. If you want to turn there, I'm going to try to catch you up on what I want to talk about this morning, but it's found in Acts chapter 27 and chapter 28. And for a lack of time, so I don't have to read the whole story, we understand that the Apostle Paul was going through some things in his life. And he gets on this ship. He gets a free ride because he's a prisoner. How many of you know a free ride not always good? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands who has gotten a free ride to the jailhouse, but it could be many in here. And here the Apostle Paul is getting on this ship. When you study it out, there's about 276 people on this ship that are sailing off. I mean, the storm comes, and it's bad. They get docked to a place, a town called Malta. But before they get there, the Apostle Paul's trying to warn the people, hey, we probably don't need to take off. Let's just stay where we're at. And they didn't listen. So they get going. Here comes this storm. This storm was so bad that it was in the days they didn't have a motor, and they just could not go the direction that they wanted to. So they had put the anchors down, and still, even with the anchors down, it was almost as if they were adrift, and the winds were terrible. It was scaring all the people. Of course, the Apostle Paul, as they didn't do what he said to do. Now, he was a prisoner, so why would they listen to him? But they knew he was a preacher, and they said, why? You know, we think it's okay. And, of course, again, they sell off, and, man, some bad things happen. And I like this part because he basically said, I told you so. Man, I kind of like that. We should start using that because it's biblical. How many of you wanted to tell someone, I told you so? Well, as we know, to get to where we're heading here, they finally get to this place, Malta, and matter of fact, a lot of them had to swim to the place. Some of the guards, before they got there, tried to get in this boat and got swept away. And again, here the Apostle Paul is trying to tell them, don't do it. Use some wisdom. Now again, think about this for a minute, because here the Apostle Paul is in chains and he's going to go to prison. For what? Telling people about the Son of God? Not following the laws of worshiping other gods than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? But check this out. They finally get to this place. The villagers come out. They are nice, friendly. They're freezing cold because they've been in the water, the rains, and so on. So they want to build a fire. Some of y'all probably are knowing right where we're at now. Here's the fire. The Apostle Paul goes together what the Bible calls sticks. So that was all 27, and now we're in chapter 28 here, see. In verse 1, and when they were escaped, Acts 28, verse 1, then they knew that the island, which was called Malta, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire, received us every one because of the present rain and because it was cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper. That's a snake. Matter of fact, when you study out this snake, the viper, it was the deadliest snake. You didn't want to get bit by this thing. But a viper came out of the heat, fastened on his hand. Anybody that knows snakes, or you ever watch those shows, if it latches onto you, then the venom just keeps coming, right? And it's latched on to the Apostle Paul. Now think about this for a second. All he's doing is just trying to be a blessing. He's going to gather some sticks to build a fire. And bam, he's bit by a viper. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt that this man is a murderer. I think that's so funny. Look at what they were doing. They're saying he got bit by a snake, so there's no doubt that this man's got to be a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, and the vengeance suffereth not to live. In other words, what they were saying is this guy has to be a bad man because God is causing a viper, a snake, to come bite him. That's what they're thinking. You know, and we're already talking about the things that are going on in this world that is crazy. We're going through trials and tribulations. Matter of fact, some people in this room are watching possibly, maybe going through some tough, tough things. Because I've never been anywhere. Well, maybe there are people that never have problems. If that's you, you can leave right now. I'm kidding. No, all of us go through stuff. We may not be in anything right now, but I'm sure we've been through something sometime, someplace. And here, they just assumed, oh yeah, this guy's got to be a bad man because the viper got him. Let me tell you something right now. The devil shows no respecter of persons. When you're doing good, the devil's going to attack you. And when you're doing bad, the devil will attack you. I mean, he just attacks no matter what. Can you say amen to that? But think about this. How many of you have been bit? I'm not saying by a snake, but that the devil has bit you in some way. And how do you respond? How are you going to respond when the enemy begins to attack your life, your marriage, your health, your finances, your relationships, whatever it might be? What are you going to say? What are you going to do? Well, look what the Apostle Paul did. I love this part in verse 5. And he shook it off. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. I mean, that's a good point to say amen right there, or shout hallelujah, or speak in tongues if you're a Baptist, or, you know, scream if you're Episcopalian. I don't know. But this is a good time that no matter what's going on in one's life, we need to shake it off. We don't need to hold it on. Living in the tents of the trials and tribulations. Now, we need to shake some things off this morning. Say amen to that, y'all. It's time we shake it off, because too many times people are living with the things that they did in their past. The attacks of the enemy. And I'm just here to tell you right now, you need to get used to being attacked in these last days, but count it all joy, praise God. Because you get to live under the protection of Psalms 91 right in the midst of an attack. Matter of fact, the attack might come in one's life, but if you handle yourself right and you live by the Word of God, that you'll be able to shake it off and you won't even know you've gone through an attack. Why? Because you've gone through the valley of the shadow of death. This morning, I want to minister to you just for a little bit about shaking it off. Get rid of some things, because that's what I'm seeing right here that the Apostle Paul did. He shook it off. Yeah, maybe things aren't going great in your life right now. Maybe you've gone through some battles, some scars. Maybe you're in the heated battle right now. Or maybe you've come through it. But one thing we've got to remember and teach people that are coming through some things is that they've got to shake it off. And then the ones that have victory, we need to teach and continue to teach and continue to speak the things that the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us right here. He shook that viper off. Wow. And then they watched. And they were waiting for him to puff up and die. Right? And then they waited. They just knew it. He's got to be a murderer, right? He's got to be a bad guy. Well, how many of you know that that's what people want from us? They're actually waiting for us to die. I mean, they're watching. Oh, he just got bit. Look at that. Look at what he's going through. And they're just sitting back. Get him, God. get them. Well, y'all know what happened, right? He didn't die. Matter of fact, it didn't. Now, this one thing started a doctrine in a bad way. You ever seen someone on TV that's supposed to be a preacher letting snakes bite them? They've been called the old snake church. I can promise you one thing right now. Everybody listen to me carefully. I do have a concealed license. Okay? If you bring a snake to this church wanting to try to prove your point like the Apostle Paul did, you're going to die. Along with the snake. Amen? And if we're all in a very good mood, we will try to raise you from the dead, but don't get your hopes up. I'm just a kidding, man. You know, I watched the guys. By golly, the Bible says in Mark chapter 16 that no deadly thing that bites me or harms me will penetrate me, and I'll live. And he got bit by. I guess I don't know what happened, but he died. That's a bad thing for a preacher. Oh Jesus. Let me keep reading. How about they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly? And check this out. But after they had looked a great while. So think about it. And when you're going through some battles, they're just watching. Come on. He should be done for. It's about time, you know. See, where is our heart? When we're wanting the best, the worst for people instead of the best. You see, here the Apostle Paul, and he had all right to be ticked off at these people. Number one, they didn't listen to him. Then he gets into a shipwreck. Then he gets bit by a snake. They're waiting for him to swell up and die. And after they had looked for a great while and saw no harm come to him, look at this, they changed their minds. And said he was a god. That's even worse. He was a murderer a little bit ago, and now he must be a god. Man, what people trying to do today and the enemy trying to attack, man, it can mess us all up. Now he has to be a god. I remember one time, it was so funny. I was ministering at a place, and the dad came up and said, "You got to hear this." I was up there ministering, and he had a little girl, 6, 7 years old. And he said, "Hey, do you know who that is?" Just thinking, you know, she would say, he's a cowboy preacher. She goes, "Is he the Pope?" "He must be the Pope." I can promise you I'm not the Pope. Mm-mm, don't want to be the Pope. I find it interesting, y'all, that here he was a murderer one minute, and now he must be a god. No, you know what it was? It was the power that lived on the inside of him. We're going to talk about that because I find it interesting as we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter... No. 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians, because I wrote that down. That's why earlier when I was trying to study and I went to 1 Corinthians, it didn't make sense. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord, for correcting that. I wanted to show you some things on how the apostle dealt with a few things. Moreover, brethren, verse 1. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on all churches of Macedonia. Okay, stand by. Because it may be 1 Corinthians. Now that I'm thinking about that, because that really didn't make sense. Does it really matter? Oh, I got it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, not chapter 8. That's where I was. And verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. Oh, praise God. Okay, we're back. 2 Corinthians. Just listen to me. Y'all don't even need a Bible. Y'all got it memorized. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Ready? Say amen if you're finally there. And all I was doing, obviously, was helping y'all find books of the Bible, okay? For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant, I like that word, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying is that you were burdened above measure. I mean, some bad things were going on possibly right here. Despaired of life. Look at verse 9. You see, what we're going to do today is again, try to get some things shaken off of our lives. The things that are holding us back from the manifestations of the things that we're believing God for. And hopefully everybody in this place is believing God for something. Maybe it's just direction. I just need direction, sir. Maybe it is health issues. I don't know what it might be, but even in the midst of some bad things, the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us to shake some things off. Get over it. I liked what Joyce Meyer said years ago. As most people know her testimony, how she was raped when she was a kid by one of her family members. And she lived with that all of her life until one day she finally said, I've got to get over it. Just get over it. Because the enemy was trying to tell her and remind her of what happened to her back then. The enemy was trying to convince her that it was just her lot in life, that she go through some bad things. And she finally said, get over it. You see, that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us, even right here. As some bad things were happening, he was saying, hey, you don't need to be burdened among the measure, because that's what's happening here. They were sentenced to death. And then he says this, look, in verse 9. But we had been sentenced to death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. How many of you know there's times when we got to start trusting in our abilities and trusting His ability? The one that lives on the inside of us has all the wisdom in the world. That's why James says, when you lack it, ask God for wisdom and He'll give it to you liberally and upbraideth not. You know, we go through a lot of things in our lives, possibly again right now, something going on in our lives. And we've got to just be willing to shake it off, not allow the devil to get us again into the tent of bitterness and in anger and resentment and all the things that really destroy one's life. I mean, we need to get over some things. We need to shake it off like the Apostle Paul did. Here, when the enemy was trying to attack him and stop him, stop the move of God in his life, he shook off that old snake. You see, and here, again, he's teaching us what to do when you're burdened, when you are despaired, when you've been sentenced to death. He's saying, don't you trust in yourself. Trust in the God that raises the dead. And I don't know about you, but there's power in that. That means that you don't have to give up. My. Okay. So, let's read on just a little bit. Verse 10. Who delivers us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that He will yet deliver us. I mean, God wants you delivered. Okay, listen to me real fast. If you've been, God uses this church in some awesome ways. because we reach, yes, the Western world, the cowboy type people, the country folk that just have not gone to church because they don't feel comfortable going to church. They felt like they've been looked down upon because they don't have a suit and tie and they don't do whatever. And so we reach those people. But let me tell you someone else we reach, people that have been burnt in the church. God has used this church, and sometimes they're only here for a season. I mean, that's why he brings more preachers to this church than I've ever seen in 16 years. And I've been called a pastor of ministers. Now, and I think it's coming to pass because now I'm the president of the Cowboy Ministers Network and one of the founders. That's a lot of pastors that now call me. One called me yesterday, said, "Hey, have you heard what's going around Facebook?" I said, "That's going to be a long discussion." He said, "Yeah, they're doing some Lucifer conferences. Lucifer, have y'all seen that? It's about one world government." I said, "Well, that's just another thing." It's how I minister to him. I said, "Well, this is just another thing that we're going to stand against and defeat in Jesus' name." Amen. I mean, politics. Ooh, Jesus, you ever been in politics? You better be tough-skinned. But man, God's needing some people to start. That's why I love praying for our president. You want to talk about attacks? You want to talk about the vipers biting him constantly? The enemy attacking, I mean, over and over and over and over. Heard this morning that there was, that no one showed up to his rally on CNN. I want to tell y'all, probably the reason that I went through Oklahoma, because I went through Tulsa, there were thousands and thousands of people there. They had cops. No lights were working. I forgot to tell you. The lights did not work, even though they were working. They were having to do it all by hand and policemen. Just the things that's why I love to pray. Now, I prayed for Obama as well. I prayed because the Bible instructs us, no matter who it is, that we're going to pray for our leaders. I want them making godly decisions. But I'm here to tell you that old viper, he's attacking our president. Why? Well, because God's the one that put him in office. I know we people voted him in, but really, it was God-breathed because he's a shaker. You're seeing a country trying to go wrong directions. So I'm reminded here how God then will deliver us right in the midst of some things. You go over to 2 Corinthians because I'm not going to go there, but it's chapter 4, and I want you to read about 1 down to 7 or 8. I mean, you start reading that, it talks about power. And the reason I don't want to go there, because there's a lot of people that want to join our church today, and I want you to. But just to help us understand this message this morning, again, is we have power. His name's Jesus. Jesus has a name above every name. It doesn't matter what is attacking you, what enemy is trying to destroy you and bite you. It's time to shake it off. It's time to get over it. It's time to not allow the enemy to get you off the road that God's put you on, where the blessing of God is. You see, a lot of people don't get into the blessing, and the river is right there, and they stand out on the bank, and they're just looking over into it. They may not even know what's really into it, but man, when you understand that this is the blessing and you've got to take the step to get into the blessing, it's up to you to live by faith and not by your past failures. Even if the devil is trying to attack you or your family, it's time to start shaking some things off so that you don't live in that bite of anger, that bite of depression, that bite of the things that are trying to destroy you, steal from you, kill from you. It's time to start shaking some things off so that in today's world, we can go ahead and live in the blessing of God. And you're going to be blessed right in the middle when times are bad. You better watch what you do, too. If you say something, you be a man and a woman of your word. You live in the presence of God. You live in the way God wants you to live, His Bible. I didn't say you might make a mistake. If you make a mistake, you're living in the grace of God, praise the Lord. You're living in His mercy. It's new every morning, the Bible says. I'm not saying we won't make a mistake. I'm just saying we're not expecting to make a mistake. We don't have to expect. Well, that's just part of life. We all fall short of the glory of God. No, you do not have to. That's why we have a Bible. That's why you have preachers preaching the Word of God. That's why you don't have to stay in a church that's dead any longer. That's why so many of people have come to this church and we have doubled since that virus. Why? Because we still continue to preach the Word and we didn't hide in the caves like a lot of these church people are hiding in. And for it, people came to our drive-in services, and then all of a sudden, wow, I didn't know they gave salvation plans still. People have come to this church and said, I've visited 20 churches in the Austin area, and this is the only one that gave a salvation plan. I had one guy tell me the other day, hey, I'm just trying to find a little smaller church. Y'all heard me say that probably. I said, why? Why wouldn't you want it to be big? Why? You don't want to get selfish and be all about us receiving. No, we need to see people saved. I want to see people delivered. And I want people saying, hey, that church right over there, though they have probably made mistakes, they preach the Word of God. And people are saved. I mean, watch what happens in these services. You're going to see people get saved this morning. And I'm telling you, very seldom is someone here that doesn't give their life to Jesus. It happens. What it does, though, is it causes us to go out there. If we can't lead them to the Lord Jesus, and that might be the problem, is we're teaching you right. You're just leading them out to Jesus out there so they don't have to come in here and get saved. Watch what happens, though. People continue to get saved. And then all of a sudden, they come up here for prayer. And by golly, they get healed. Wait a minute. God still heals today? Do you realize there's churches out there that don't believe that God heals all? Yeah, but He didn't heal my mama. Well, what if your mama just wanted to go to heaven? I mean, so many things that we can't judge people. That's why I don't ever judge a man's salvation. Guy came to me years ago and said, you know what, those Billy Graham crusades where thousands of people walk down the aisle to give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, they did a study. I'm here to tell you right now, studies, you better watch a study. Because a lot of these polls and studies has already counted President Trump out. And watch what happens. He said they did a study, and only 5% of all of those thousands of people really gave their lives to Jesus. I said, really? Really? How do you know? They did a study. Because some of them didn't change automatically. Oh, really? So now we're judging a man's heart. Y'all know this story. I quit early so I can, but anyway. A lady walked into a service we did in Amarillo, Texas years ago, and I watched her. She came to the front row on my left, right where Angela's at, possibly. So I'm preaching, and she's crying the whole time. The minute I started singing an upbeat song, she cried. She cried during the slow music. She cried during the message. After the service, boy, she shoots her hand up to give her life to Jesus. She needed Jesus. And she came up to me after the service, thrilled. Thank you, God, that I gave my life to Jesus. I said, man, I'm so happy for you. And all these college kids were around, right here. I'm so thrilled that I gave my life to Jesus. And then she said, I'm thanking God that I don't have to be around those blankety blank people any blankety blank more, because Jesus is now my Lord. Wow. Listen to me. Her spirit got born again, but her mouth needed to get renewed. Okay? So don't judge someone because they all of a sudden don't know all of the Bible when they give their life to Jesus. I mean, it takes some time. It takes some time learning this Bible and finding out who you are in Christ Jesus. And then that's the thing about our president. He got saved. They led him to the Lord not long ago. And so sometimes his mouth still doesn't know what to say. And then people, the Christian people, are like, I can't believe he said that. Well, that's because he hadn't had time to get his mind renewed. He's having to deal with Russia and the Democrats and impeachment, and the list goes on and on. People are so afraid if I say anything about Paul. What if you lose your 501c3? So? What if I do? I bet we still get to have a church. By the way, no one ever, ever, ever has lost their 501c3 ever in a church. And I'm not political, and I'm not going to get political. I'm just saying, if the quiet on the front. If it stops laughing with that high pitch. What I am saying, though, is that we got to pray for this country. And we got to keep this country a godly country. Because as you can tell, it's going the opposite direction. We've got to get in line with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, is trying to get us all set free from that viper. Shake it off. Amen. Did y'all have a good time this morning? All right. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that this is a day that you made. So we're going to be glad and rejoice in it. And Father, at the sound of my voice, I'm asking you, sir, that you would draw men unto you that does not know you. If they don't know you, sir, draw their hearts right now to you. God, thank you. Thank you. I rebuke division over this country. God, thank you, Lord, that people can shake off some bad things that are going on in their lives right now. Shake it off. And we give you praise for it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, it's time to meet him. He's a wonderful Savior. You can operate in love. You'll just begin to love when you receive this Jesus. So, I present Jesus this way to you. If you died and left this earth and you stood before God Almighty, think about it. You have to know what he will say to you individually. If Jesus, his son that he sent, his only begotten son, if you receive his son Jesus, according to Romans 10 and 9, according to John 14, when you stand before God with Jesus as the Lord of your life, God will say, well done. Enter into heaven. The joy, the rest, R-E-S-T. Oh, that's what we need today, rest of the Lord. John 14, Jesus said, I've already prepared a mansion for you. Because he said, I'm the only way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's why Jesus died. Not a church, not a preacher. You have to receive Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know what God will say to you when you stand before him one day? And you will. You won't stand in front of him with your family members or your friends. It's all going to be individually. What is God the Father going to say to you when you stand in front of him? this morning, if you don't know my Savior Jesus, I want you to meet him right now. What we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. I can't make you receive him. I can't make you pray this prayer. I can just offer it to you. And I ask you in Jesus' mighty name to give in to our God. Give in to Jesus. Stop fighting him. He's a wonderful Savior. Plus, I don't want you to go to a place called hell. And you don't want to go there either. You cannot play cards with your buddies for the rest of your life. It's terrible. Please choose heaven. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. If you're here this morning or at the sound of my voice watching, however you're here into this service, if you don't know Jesus, it's time you meet him. We're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray it. You pray it after me. When we pray it, mean everything that we pray. We're going to pray it out loud. But the believers are going to pray this prayer with you. So if you're here and you don't know if you go to heaven or hell when you die and leave this earth, I want you to receive Jesus by praying the prayer with all of us. And we're just going to pray Romans 10:9. We're going to confess Jesus as the Lord of our life. You ready? Would you all pray this prayer? Especially anybody that does not know Jesus. You don't know what would happen to you if you died. Pray this prayer right now. You ready? Out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Be my friend. Thank you that you've been raised from the dead. All my sins are forgiven because Jesus Christ is my Lord, is my Savior. I pray this prayer now to you, the Father, in Jesus' name, because Jesus is my Lord. With no one looking around, your heads bowed and eyes closed, please. I'm not going to embarrass you or have you walk down to the front. But if you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus, do not be ashamed of that. That is a glorious time. Jesus was not ashamed of you to die for you, to die for me. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus this morning, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and then just put it right back down. And again, what you're doing by raising it is you're saying, God, I meant that prayer. I gave my life to Jesus this morning. And you just put it down and you have confidence that when you die, you're going to heaven because he's now your Lord. So at the count of three, get that hand up. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that, both of you. Anybody else? I'm going to give you a Bible. Just take that Bible. So proud of you. Thank you. I'm proud of you. Very proud of you. Amen. Three of you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. All right, look at me. I'm telling you. Now, listen. You guys that raised your hand and got a Bible, you're now my brother and sister in Christ. Man, when I'm hurting, I need you because we're family. But when you're hurting, you got a big family. Amen? So draw on us. We'll help you the best we can. Amen? Praise God. I'm so glad that y'all came this morning. Now, during this COVID-19 mess, a lot of people have come to this short church, and I want to take just a second. I want you to join. It's time. It's time that you join some believers. Now, listen to me. I believe that if you join, it's because you've prayed and God has planted you here. Where you're planted is where you grow. I don't ever believe in church hopping. Where you go to a place, God will plant you, and then you'll grow there. A lot of people join the very first Sunday that they come to this church. And I've seen that over the years because they just know. I feel it in my spirit. This is where I'm supposed to be. So if you've prayed and you believe that God has planted you at this church, all we do with joining is I pray over you. We add our agreement. We make covenant. And I'll tell you what that means here in just a minute. We don't vote you in. Remember, I've always said if you get voted in, you can get voted out. We don't do that like we did in our churches growing up. But it's very important to add your agreement that this is where I'm supposed to be. So if you've never joined our church, I don't care how long you've been coming. If it's been today or months or even years and you've never joined, I want you to come up here right now. Let us pray over you and then we'll leave. Amen? Come on. Just stand right up here. I want you to come up. Come all the way here. Amen. Amen. Yeah, come on. Doesn't matter how long you've been coming. I want y'all to come. This is where God has planted you. You don't have to fight it any longer. I want you to come and just stand. So very proud of you. Very proud. Amen. Glory be to God. Now listen to me. I knew there would be a lot of people, and you'll see it again next month when we have people join. The covenant that I want to make with y'all is that we promise to preach that word. We promise to counsel, to help in any way we can in your walk with us here. I mean, that's just the way we'll be. We're going to preach this word. Anything that we can do for you, it would be an honor. Amen. On the flip-flop, well, I want you to promise to us that you come to church. Just come when you can. Amen? Because, see, this is where you get planted, and you'll grow. And I also want you to know that God will use you in a mighty way. In a mighty way. Amen? 1 second. Father, I lift up Sybil right now. And I know she's being attacked. And her husband stands in her place right now. That we speak life over her body. And we rebuke death in Jesus' name. Father, right now, I thank you, Lord, that the healing power of God now would come on Sybil. And we speak life. And you be in agreement. In Jesus' name. God gets the victory. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Father, thank you for this precious couple joining our church. I thank you, Lord, for using them in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Thank you, Father, for this couple. God, we need them. Thank you. Thank you for y'all joining. Thank you so much, sir. Father, thank you, Lord, as I pray over this couple. God bless them, sir. I thank you, Lord, that you're uniting them with the covenant that you've created for them individually and together as a couple. Now, thank you, Lord, that you're uniting them to our church. We receive them by faith. Thank you, Father. Thank you, sir, for this precious woman. Use her in a mighty way. We receive you, making a covenant in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this couple. Thank you, sir. It is a pleasure to be called their pastor now. So, Father, give me wisdom. I speak in their life blessings. Move in their lives in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this precious lady. We receive her by faith. So use her, sir. What a blessing just to see her smile. Gosh. Thank you for that, Father. Amen. Father, I just pray over this couple. God, what a joy. What a joy to see such worship and praise come from this woman. Thank you, Lord, for using her as we receive you by faith. Thank you, Lord, for an older couple been here for a while. But, Father, thank you that they finally say, this is our church. And would they make it public? So we receive you guys by faith in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this man. I ask you to just begin to birth things into his life that would change all the people around him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this man. Bless him and all that his hands touch as we receive him as a member of this church in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this precious couple as well. God bless. Thank you for young as well as older people that are coming to be a part of this church. Use them. Cause them to be an influence to other young people that would come, that don't need to wait till they're older to start plugging into church. No, we need to do it when we're young. We thank you, Lord. I receive y'all as this church. Father, thank you for this precious girl. Thank you, Lord, what she means to you, sir, and now what she means to this body. And we just receive her by faith as a member of this church. It's what a joy that you would be a part of this church. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Hallelujah. Now, I want y'all just to turn and face this congregation, and just spread out if you don't mind. Just spread out, because we're going to come, and some of them don't know you. Now, church, listen to me carefully, okay? Because y'all half the time don't do it correctly. We are going to start this time on this side. So what y'all people on that side, I know what you're tempted to do, to go immediately right there. You're not, though. You're going to come around, and we're just going to go, hey, glad to have them. And you meet them. Now listen to me carefully. Do not tell them stories, okay? But I want people to know that we welcome new people to join that have joined our church. So while I pray, if you feel led to get up while I'm praying and get first in line, I'm fine with that. I do that. I do that at dinner a lot, okay? So you guys, thank you for joining this church. It's an honor. Would y'all give them a big round of applause? Amen. All right. It's 12:10. Restaurants are still open with masks if you go to Austin, so it's an honor to have all of you. Would y'all stand up and we'll be dismissed? And again, y'all come and y'all just be a part of welcoming these great folks, and y'all be a part of being a blessing to the ones that meet you. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a great time. We're going to shake off some things that's been holding us back, thing that's stayed attached to us way too long. We're getting rid of that viper. We're going to shake it off. Get rid of it, whatever it is. Thank you, Lord, for all these people that joined our church, but especially thank you for those three that gave their lives to you, and no telling how many watching. Thank you. Please continue to come. I pray over all the new people that came this morning, that if they don't have a church home, that they would pray about this church being their home, where they can plant. God can use them in a mighty way. We love you, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Look at old Ricky. Woohoo! Love you guys.